This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hour number three, VSIN Sharp Money from downtown Las Vegas. We welcome you back, Bar Canada at the D. You can feel the rumbles of excitement, Adam, because we are almost there. 4th of July. There will be bets on hot dogs tomorrow. Lots of bets on baseball, other whimsical activity. I always love, my favorite American tradition is betting on Wimbledon, because nothing says America like betting on lots of European tennis players. I'll also probably be betting on Copa America tomorrow, because why not?
Sounds good. Why not? Shout out to my parents. Happy anniversary.
Oh, July 3rd.
July 3rd. Yep.
Happy anniversary.
July 3rd is how, July 3rd. A lot of people say.
Yeah. Yet my dad still somehow forgets. It's like, Dad, it's the day before the 4th of July.
Come on, Dad. Congratulations.
Did you text him today? Hey, don't forget.
No, I gave him enough rope to have his own problem.
By the way,
after a certain amount of years, you would think.
Right, yeah.
It was a big topic yesterday, so I want to ask Ben about it. Yeah. How are you guys going to survive this unbelievable heat swell we're going to get this weekend? We're potentially hottest ever temperature Vegas.
Yeah, I have a pretty good strategy for people. It's called get on a flight after tomorrow's Sharp Money and go to San Diego.
Good strategy.
Which
mine is mine is be standing or sitting in water with a beer in your hand.
Also really good option if you do not have the ability to get on a flight.
That's true.
By the way, Matt Brown, hot take. He says that San Diego weather is overrated.
Doesn't that good? Guessing Matt Brown was there between the months of May and mid-June because
he just said year-round. It's just it's all.
Yeah, he complained about 60 being cold.
Yeah.
Matt is notoriously a little bit soft when it comes to optimal weather conditions. Like you will not get a text back from him if you inquire about golf, even in Vegas, in the December, January, February month.
Maybe it's just the Ohioan in me, but I'm a big-time hoodie and shorts guy. Like, if you give me, like, 60, 65, or, you know, it gets a little bit chillier at night, the hoodie and shorts is it's a comfortable look.
Also, 65 and sunny in San Diego is a different 65 and sunny than most places.
It was an absurd statement. The weather in San Diego is fantastic.
It's awesome. I will also die on this hill that I think 50 degrees in Vegas feels a lot colder than 50 degrees, say, in Ohio, Wisconsin, or whatnot. I don't know why. You and I had a day
on the golf. Wasn't it Wild Horse in Henderson where it was like 50? I was colder than on a day at the frozen tundra.
Yeah.
You know, in Wisconsin where it was sub 30. Like, it is biting.
You don't have to die on this hill. You are very much alive on this hill. And that's the tough thing, right? So I'm not – I actually wanted to be a meteorologist growing up. So I still pay attention to weather, and I need to go storm chasing one day. I know frequent VSiN guest Brad Powers would go storm chasing with me.
You pumped for Twisters to come out, by the way, July 19th?
The soundtrack is awesome, for what it's worth. But I agree that when it's like 40 here in the wintertime, because there's no clouds to insulate any of the warmth, right? So, like, it's just – and the wind. It's always windy here in the winter. So I agree with you.
If you came to Sharp Money expecting breakdowns of cumulus and nimbus clouds – you've gotten what you
asked. Hey, it's almost monsoon season here. We're getting there.
Honestly, I'd be very happy if I see a cloud. I went to Wisconsin for a couple weeks. I've come back. I've seen maybe one little storm cloud. That's about it.
When my wife and I were switching apartments last year, we were packing up our stuff in September, like the parking lot flooded because it was raining so hard.
Oh, yeah. The last two Augusts in Vegas have been well below average. I mean, we have a hurricane pass through. Last year.
Oh, that's right.
The Jim Cantore of VSiN, Adam Burke. We should get you on those endorsement deals.
If you want a good laugh after this show, go look up on YouTube Jim Cantore and Thunder Snow.
Oh, I've seen this video. That's
it's incredible.
One.
I thought you were about to say you had done some sort of meteorology hit somewhere.
No.
I was really hoping that was the case.
No. I'm okay with numbers. I'm not good with science. So being a meteorologist was not my future.
Some would say they're intertwined.
I'm not
and
good
many
with
would say they're intertwined.
During a break, I may or may not have said, our Zach Cohen just won a bet on plus 2.5 sets, and it took Adam a couple minutes to figure out that Matteo Berrettini, in fact, did lose less than 2.5 sets, but that's okay. It's neither here nor there. They're 2-1 right now, Sinner, as they're serving the fourth set. A really fun match. That is the last match of the night going at Wimbledon. The only other one that was going, they just suspended due to darkness. That was the Stan Wawrinka-Gael Monfils match. Those of us hardcore tennis sickos who love both of those players have been enthralled in that match, which is in the late in the third set there. Monfils up 2-0. They are on center court, though, with the Sinner and Berrettini match, and they can close the court and play till as long as they desire, which is great for us here on the West Coast.
I'll blame it on the metric system.
Metric system.
We'll go with that.
That's very fair.
We'll go with that.
Very fair. All right. As we continue our NFL talk this hour, we'll break down the final two teams of the NFC North. We began talking Lions and Packers. We'll do that here in a little bit. Also break down the Major League Baseball card for this Wednesday. But a brief couple of minutes on Coach of the Year, where Adam, as part of the NFL betting guide, you and I each have a bet on Coach of the Year, and both at a very, very good long shot price, especially with how Coach of the Year, the odds are so spread out. You have Jim Harbaugh, Matt Eberflus, Harbaugh for the Chargers, Eberflus for the Bears, your co-favorites at 9-1, but we're like, no. You got to look further down the board here, and you're either looking at, you know, a young first, second-year head coach with a team that doesn't have a whole lot of expectations, that's who I isolated, or in your case, Adam, you're looking at a team that is being slept on to have a very good season, and if the expectations are met by such an alarming, voluminous degree, you could actually make a case for said coach, and that's where you started to look at your handicap here.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, our opposite opinions here are a pretty good representation of what the Coach of the Year market looks like, as you alluded to. So I think the Eagles can be really good this year. I think that, you know, Jalen Hurts just didn't seem healthy, didn't seem like himself last year. I like the moves that they've made. I think they have dramatically upgraded with their coordinators here coming into this season. So I think those are things that are going to help Nick Sirianni. You got Kellen Moore now on the offensive side, Vic Fangio on the defensive side, and, you know, a lot of teams run elements of the Fangio scheme, but I think the Eagles were kind of lost. They were just kind of floating. You know, ever since Jonathan Gannon, Shane Steichen left, you know, you had, you know, Doug Peterson move on as well. There's been a pretty significant brain drain in terms of the coaching staff there with Philadelphia. So I think Sirianni can get some things figured out here, but also I think Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio can really get some things figured out. Look, I get it. You have to dodge 7 new head coaches, and newer head coaches typically win in this market as long as you have a big improvement year over year, which I'm sure you'll talk about with regards to Mike McDonald. But you can also win this thing if you're the number one seed and you've got a team that goes, you know, in today's age, 13-4, 14-3, something like that. And I think Philadelphia is very capable of doing that. I think the schedule is quite favorable for them early in the season. I think their toughest game is, you know, their toughest games are at home until they go to Cincinnati in week 8. They play Dallas in week 10. I think Sirianni could get some credit for, quote unquote, figuring it out after last year's collapse with the help of those coordinators. I think this is a team that has a remarkably high ceiling, and that would be a path for Sirianni to potentially win it at 40-1.
And you can elaborate too on this, Adam. It's not like we're suggesting, okay, just throw a unit on these bets and then sit back, relax, see how the season goes. If you're looking to bet on Sirianni at 40-1, is it not part of a larger profile where you're looking at win totals, division futures, alternative wins over on the Eagles, and this is just a very small piece of the pie where if all those things come true and you have conviction on Philadelphia, odds are Sirianni is going to be at the very least in the conversation, at which point 40-1, a good ticket to have.
Right, and look, I mean, in some respects you can kind of treat these awards as something like, you know, an NCAA, you know, basketball portfolio, you know, college basketball portfolio for the tournament, something like that, where you kind of keep adding on some different things as you go. Like, for example, we talked about the NFC South, right? The Falcons' schedule is very difficult early in the year. Raheem Morris, understandably so, you know, is there in the 13-1 range, at least over at DraftKings, to win Coach of the Year. If they get off to an 0-3 start or a 1-2 start, Morris is, what, 25-1 at that point because of the difficult start that they got off to? So if you think that as the schedule softens up for them, they can go on a run and be a team that goes 11-6, something like that. You know, that's a pretty big improvement over last year. And also Morris is going to get a lot of love for, oh, look how the season started and look how things finished. Like, you can get him at, say, 25-1 instead of paying the 13-1 that he's at now, because he is one of those first year head coaches who can lead a big turnaround.
Other alternative markets too, you could bet on the Eagles, even money toward the NFC East.
Yeah.
That is very widely available.
Yeah.
You could look alt over 11.5 wins at plus money. Over 12.5 is over 3-1. Mm-hmm. Number one seed is over 5-1. There's so many ways to play that with a lot of enticing markets. Not to suggest we're playing all of these. I'm just saying, if you are a believer in what Adam was just talking about, that to me is the way to sort of diversify your portfolio in that sense. I went here with one of the new head coaches in the league. It's Mike McDonald for Seattle, and it's a pretty simple premise here. Seattle, bottom 10 defense across the board last year. You're bringing in a defensive wizard, a young guy from Baltimore who led the charge at D.C. the last two seasons. If Mike McDonald comes in and is able to showcase that same sort of magic with a personnel grouping that is not all that far away in Seattle from being extremely competitive, but to me was more a victim of a lack of solid coaching across the board and, you know, lack of new ideas, which is what McDonald really brings in, you already have the pieces to be extremely successful on offense with a top 15 quarterback in Geno Smith, legit playmakers surrounding him. The big question is, where does the offensive line go? But it is now year three of a building process for a number of young offensive line pieces that have started to show some improvement, and even if it admittedly has been a little bit rocky at times. That's where the play comes in for McDonald and Seattle, who are at a 7.5 win total. You get double-digit wins, you make the postseason, which is almost 2-1 right now. That is a guy who will be amidst your finalists in Mike McDonald, and why at 22-1, the number was too good to pass up on for me.
Yeah, and I like this too. I mean, this is one that I probably will have in the account before the season starts, because it does make a lot of sense, especially because he's a head coach who inherits a lot of talent, right? I mean, this is a potentially robust offense with Ryan Grubb, the former Washington offensive coordinator, Washington Huskies, that is. I think they could be really, really interesting on the offensive side, and McDonald is there for that reason, to rehab this defense that has not looked all that good, since the Legion of Boom was a thing.
And 9-8 team last year, you could make a pretty compelling case, though, that expectations should probably be more in line with what Seattle did last year at 9-8, and a lot of credit being given to what Pete Carroll did that maybe should not be based on how things transpired at the end of his tenure. When we come back, it is that time. Major League Baseball. Excited to dive into a full Wednesday slate with Adam Burke when we come back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, you can get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. It's normally $240 a year, but you can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code SHARP. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Do not miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide, which is out now within this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code SHARP. You get 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 and get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. Part of those best bets, daily tennis picks from our Gil Alexander and Zach Cohen. A 5-all in the fourth set here. Top seed Yannick Sinner getting pushed by Matteo Berrettini up 2-1 on serve. I believe we are destined for another tie break here, Adam, as I put my magic top hat of Wimbledon predictions on. I guess it should be royal throne hat on. Well, that seems to be where we're heading between the two Italians.
I will take your word for it. Okay.
Wyatt doing the...
I gotta say,
I am like 25% Italian, so...
Okay. We should have this conversation tomorrow with Joe Serralo, who is a proud Italian. I don't know what percentage. Proud Italian from New York.
I don't know the exact family tree, but I know my grandma is 100% Sicilian, actually.
Oh, Sicilian?
Yes.
So you're – okay, so 25%. I guess. Okay, I get it. The derivative.
Yeah,
there.
I know numbers,
Okay. Better than, 1/16. You've got a little bit more of a claim there. Once you get to double digits, I feel like that's a good – it's a good basis. We're gonna have to have the Italian discussion tomorrow. Although, as much as I would love to talk soccer, Joe Serralo over the weekend told me, as soon as Italy got eliminated from Euro 2024, he's like, "I'm out. I don't care." But I do know he bets Yannick Sinner religiously because of the Italian connection.
Well, did he bet Berrettini too?
Yeah, there's a conflict of interest here.
I guess you would have bet the total if you were betting both. You were rooting for a great match.
So.
Total over, which is cash.
He's gotten the great match. That's for sure.
Berrettini,
by the way,
does cash +2.5 sets.
I got to say, as we're going to transition into baseball here, you mentioned Joe Ingles earlier. Made me think of Joe Inglet.
Joe Inglet.
Indians and Brewers legend.
That makes me think of, for some reason, I don't know why, this is a name game. We've promised Wyatt we wouldn't do it. We're doing it now. Frank Catalanato, who Your Love from the Outfield as his walk-up song. I believe the only player still left in Major League Baseball who has Your Love from the Outfield, the best walk-up song you could ever have. is Charlie Blackman of the Rockies. Just wanted to point that out there.
So, did you ever play Immaculate Grid when that was out? That was a hot thing last year.
It's still a thing, but I've never really played it.
You know, well, Dustin Sweetelson is like the best Immaculate Grid player I've ever seen.
Oh, you had some names. I'm like, who?
Oh, Dustin rips me to shreds on Immaculate Grid. We during breaks on Live Bet Sunday, we'll go through it and we'll have some fun.
See,
you can get some good ones.
I used to play it like every day, but then for some reason, like, the algorithm got reset on mine, so it said that, oh, you can start from number one or one. It didn't have my past results, and I was very frustrated, and I just quit.
Favorite Brewer-Brave combo? You can't say, some of the obvious ones.
Hank Aaron, of course.
Think random. Don't say Hank Aaron.
A tough one. I mean, you know, obviously Orlando Arcia right now.
The whole point of Immaculate Grid, we want to think a little bit further in the past.
William Contreras. Yeah, now you're making me think.
I know. I bring this up because I know Adam was a huge fan. Definitely bet on Big Dan Kolb back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Remember Dan Kolb?
No, but you know what?
He had 20 saves for both Brewers and Braves in separate seasons.
Before Immaculate Grid, did you guys ever play Sporkle?
Oh, yeah, I was a big fan.
And you'd have, like, fill in the 2014 Tampa Bay Rays roster.
Or it was, like, list all the starting quarterbacks of the 2000s.
Yeah, that was fun.
Todd Bauman, one start. It was awesome.
I mean, now the website's been taken over by so many ads, it's basically unusable. Man. But
in high school, that was my thing.
Let me just say, if there's anything wrestling-related, I gotcha. You try to quiz me on what the main event of WrestleMania.
This guy tries to work wrestling into everything.
I did.
I think it's a producer thing here at Visa.
What would your wrestler name be?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'll have to come back on that one.
All right,
I don't know.
We'll come back to that. We got 40 minutes left.
So, you know, real quick. So, for fantasy football, I finished last. So, you know, everybody's got to finish last. They got to do a punishment. Thankfully, I didn't have to do anything embarrassing. But this year, we decided to get a trophy. And I was like, you know what? I've seen these belts. I got a belt for the winner, who happened to be my roommate. It took a while for him to get it up in his room. So definitely a couple times I would walk around the house and felt like I was a WWE champ.
So Wyatt won the Sacco of his
league.
He
did win the Sacco.
Yeah. I had like the third highest scoring team, but I just had no luck. So, yeah. First time I ever finished last.
Wyatt being the taco of his league. A little bit of a reach. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the EBDBBNB. As we move on to the Major League Baseball.
Do you want to expand on what that is?
I mean,
probably shouldn't.
If you know what the EBDBBNB is, you don't need an explanation of the moniker. Anyway.
Phenomenal show,
Adam
by
Perks,
the way. Phenomenal
show. One of my favorites of all
time. Except for season 7, which is about the worst season of anything I've ever watched.
Yeah, it went a little bit downhill. I choose to not remember that. Anyway. Adam Burke has daily MLB columns available at VSiN.com. We first prioritize his best bets, then we're going to dive into the rest of the card here as we continue over our final hour of the show. Astros, Blue Jays tonight. Houston starting to come alive a little bit, AB, and they are now getting some market support as road favorites as you get Ronel Blanco and you say Kikuchi there from Rogers Center.
Yeah, so this one's a one-sided handicap for me. I like the Astros over their team total, and I thought it was really weird this morning when I put up the article over at VSiN.com. Houston's first five team total was 1.5 minus 166. I think that's even with the VIG, I think it's a decent bet because Yusei Kikuchi really, really struggling here of late. 4.18 ERA, 3.53 FIP for the season. But over his last 30 and a third innings pitch, 7.12 ERA, 5.27 FIP. Hard hit percentage almost 50%. Barrel percentage over 14%. He's getting hit really, really hard, which is extremely bad news for Toronto because he's one of their chief trade chips. He's an impending free agent, a guy that's going to bring them back some kind of prospect in a market that, you know, a lot of teams in the playoff picture need starting pitching. But Kikuchi is really, really struggling here of late. Astros 10th in weighted on base average against lefties over the last 30 days. That encompasses basically all the time without Kyle Tucker. So Houston's been good against lefties. Kikuchi's been struggling. Blue Jays bullpen, ERA over 5 over the last 30 days. I like the Astros team total over 4.5. It was plus money this morning. I'll have to check it now and see where it's at. But I do like that. And like I said, if there's a 1.5, even if it's heavily juiced for the first five, on their team total. I like that play as well.
That's a good place to start here on the card. As far as big movers, that has been one of them. Flip of favorites. A lot of books have switched here to Houston, the road favorites. DraftKings up to minus 112. That opened in a lot of spots. Jays minus 120. I don't think either of us are surprised, though, Adam, to see that happen as the Blue Jays have really, as the turnaround has not happened, and while on the flip side, Houston's turnaround has, Toronto seems right now like if they're playing anybody above average, they have become a fade within the market day to day.
Yeah, this is a Toronto team. I don't think there's a whole lot of internal confidence right now. I don't think there's a lot of external confidence in this team either. But I thought it was fascinating. You know, Ross Atkins has found every which way to blame everybody else. You know, he's given the manager a vote of confidence, which I truly don't understand. This is not a good baseball team. The core of this team has proven, in my estimation, in the minds of a lot of baseball analysts, they cannot get it done. I think they need to be big-time sellers here at the trade deadline. I think Kevin Gausman should be available. I think maybe you even consider making Vladimir Guerrero Jr. available. I would just blow this whole thing up if I'm the Blue Jays and completely start from scratch.
You would think there's still some value in, say, Jordan Romano back into the bullpen, although he's
ever
now
healthy
on the shelf. Can't keep him healthy. Remember when Nate Pearson was supposed to be the next great thing?
Yep.
He's another back-end bullpen guy.
Manoah's out until 26.
I'm still upset about Manoah in my dynasty league.
I didn't listen to you, man, like
I should have before last year. It's been a disaster.
George Springer, the aging curve hit George Springer really, really hard once he got to his mid-30s. And that's a guy that they're still batting in a very prominent position. He's just not the same player anymore. I mean, this is a team that's going nowhere fast in a division where Tampa Bay is super smart, right? They're always going to do something. Baltimore is loaded for the foreseeable future, and they'll find another starting pitcher at some point. And the Yankees, I mean, I don't know if they're going to sign Juan Soto, but if they do, and even if they don't, they're not going anywhere for a while. Boston is playing up to their level, up to their, you know, capabilities now. Like, Toronto's in a really bad spot, man.
Okay, everything within that division, too. Only, like, it'd be one thing if you were, you know, say in the AL West, right, and it wasn't, like, you could get by. But, yeah, there's nowhere to hide in that division.
I think when we get to the All-Star break and books put up, you know, adjusted win totals or second-half win totals or something like that, I will be fading Toronto.
Good underbet. Yeah.
I was going to ask, is that priority, like, if the Yankees don't sign Juan Soto, is it just, like, an ultimate, like, fail offseason for them? Because I feel like Juan Soto has been really a huge difference maker for them. I mean, Aaron Judge has been phenomenal, but you finally get a great power left-handed hitter, you know, with that short porch and right.
Well, and Soto's on base a ton, right? Yeah. I mean, he walks at one of the highest rates in Major League Baseball, so he's getting on base in front of Aaron Judge, which is all you've ever wanted, right, with Judge's power. I think they have to sign Juan Soto. I don't know that they will, but I think they have to. But he's going to command a hell of a lot of money.
I don't think anybody's saying hitting is an issue for the Yankees. It is some pitching that remains to be a major glaring weakness for New York. Still favored to win the AL East. So we'll get through Adam's best bets on the other side as we continue talking MLB Wednesday here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Right now on VSiN.com, you can see Adam Burke's daily best bets on Major League Baseball, along with all of our other sports. That includes betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. It's optimized for mobile. A fresh new look at VSiN.com as we're back in our final half hour on the Wednesday edition of Sharp Money with Wyatt Tomchek, our producer, Adam Burke. I'm Ben Wilson. The final show before 4th of July. Wyatt, I know we're in for some fun activities tomorrow. I'll be with the great Italian Joe Serrallo on the show tomorrow. So two Wisconsinites, two pseudo-Italians is how I will phrase that, Wyatt, for a special 4th of July bonanza.
We got some big breaking news in the NBA, and it involves our Bucks.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Really?
A man that I mentioned earlier in the show.
Patrick Connaughton. Not Italian. He's
not
Irish.
Not Pat Connaughton. Torian Prince. Agrees to a deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, there you go. Milwaukee's done something.
Torian Prince to the Milwaukee Bucks. This seems to be the day of one-year deal, Wyatt?
The Bleacher Report didn't give me that on the notification. So
today's been the day of the fringe role bench player one-year deal. Alec Burks to Miami, Joe Ingles to Minnesota. Now the latest by Tomchek, Torian Prince to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Is it October yet?
You are now forever associated as being Torian Prince's guy because of the comments you've made on the show today.
Hey, he's going to be, impact player for Milwaukee. They could use
some others outside of.
Is Malik Beasley still a free agent for the Bucks, right?
I believe so.
That's one I'm hoping they bring back. I like what Malik did this past year. And he's not that old, too.
Late bloomer, but very good three-point shooter. We'll have more NBA to discuss, I'm sure, tomorrow with Joe as well as we get into our 4th of July show. Right now, though, we are talking best bets from Adam Burke. We've discussed one already. Adam looking at a Blue Jay team total. I should say an Astro team total against the Blue Jays today. Over 4.5. Adam, you got that at plus 110. And then Angels, A's tonight. A game that is pretty much split here on the odds board. Very even so far as two struggling teams will do battle there in Oakland. As you get Joey Estes on the bump tonight. But the pitcher you are focusing on is on the Angels side here. Is a guy who's been very, very good, at least recently, Davis Daniel and the Angels, who've actually been playing a little better baseball as of late, if you've been paying attention.
Yeah, so I typically don't trust people with two first names, but I like Davis Daniel here today in
That's
this matchup here
advice.
The Angels. Right? I don't know. Well, Wilson can be a first name, right? Just ask the neighbor from Home Improvement.
That's Wilson Contreras.
All right. Anyway, so Angels today is here. So Davis Daniel's a guy. Look, there's something you need to know about the Pacific Coast League, which is the AAA league for a lot of the teams out west. There are 10 teams in this league, so you only face 9 different opponents. So it's very tough to face guys that see you all of the time. That's a big part of it. But also, a lot of these ballparks in the PCL basically play like Coors Field, right? If you look, teams are scoring 5.83 runs per game in the PCL, 268 average, 359 on base, 448 slugging. There's zero teams in Major League Baseball that have a batting average higher than 268, zero teams that are remotely close to a 359 on base. So pitching in the PCL is a very, very difficult thing to do. So Davis Daniel comes up. His ERA is up over 5. People kind of not really thinking a whole lot about him. But the raw stuff is good. It's actually quite good. Comes out in his first start against Detroit. 8 shutout innings, struck out 8. I had the over 4.5 at plus money on strikeouts in him in that start. Of course, that one goes nice and easy. The books did make an adjustment, part of it because he's facing Oakland today. But it's now 5.5 over minus 115. I still like this today. Look, the A's, over the last 30 days against righties, they've struck out almost 28% of the time. They have a 278 weighted on base average. They're a bad, bad, bad offense against righties. When you also look here, the season as a whole, they have the lowest outside the zone contact percentage, 49.3%, and the lowest zone contact percentage at 82.4%. In other words, they swing and miss a ton. Davis Daniel is a guy who had good strikeout numbers in the PCL, despite it being such a hitter-happy league. So I like Davis Daniel over 5.5 strikeouts tonight for the Angels against the A's.
I'm now looking to see if he is even owned in my 12-team Dynasty Fantasy Baseball League, because that might be a good little streamer for those of you either in the DFS or the Fantasy tonight. You make a really compelling case. And how many times do you see guys come up from AAA who've played in the PCL where it's like a 5, a 6 ERA? Oh, of course, no. He's been added. That's a shame. That's on me. I should have been. He's been added by 15% of ESPN leagues over the last week or so. So that's really
I mean, 8 innings, 8 strikeouts, like that's going to get you noticed.
And a matchup against
The A's who swing and miss a ton.
Wyatt, you should know something about people with two first names as a NASCAR enthusiast. That's all I'm going to say. As we move on.
Everybody, what was it, Matt Brown's thing yesterday was that there should be a B market for NASCAR because everybody who wins usually has the last name of B.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think it's a really good offering. Honestly, it makes a ton of sense.
Actually, now I'm going to have to look that
right, so
up
here. It's Byron, Bell, Blaney, Bush.
So let's see here. This year you had Byron 500, Bell won at Phoenix, Byron again at COTA. Byron at Martinsville, that's 4. Bell, Coca-Cola 600, that's 5. Blaney, Iowa 6. Bell, you've had 7.
7 of 19?
Yeah.
I'm not writing these names down, by the way, if people are wondering. Oh. But I am interested to hear that.
7 of 19. So, I mean, what do you make that number? A guy with a B last name wins.
Oh, you're definitely in the positives.
Right? Well, I mean, all right, sure, obviously, but I'm saying like, okay, so 7 out of 19, right? So
it's about allegedly in the positives.
About 37%, right? Yeah. So
let's see. Let me see how many Bs there are.
Let's see. 37% would be about plus 170 would be the implied probability based on this season. But like Bush hasn't won one yet. Busher, I guess, has a chance. I would say if you make this number like, I don't know, plus one. plus 170, plus 160. Okay. You get a market on it.
And then you add in a separate market for driver with two first names, and then you're really cooking with gas.
That's true, right?
There are nine guys in NASCAR, full-time drivers, if I did this right, have last name that starts with B. Probably eight of them, I would – well, maybe seven and a half of them have a good chance of winning on a weekly
basis. And obviously it varies based on the track.
Yes.
So, I don't know, maybe you make this like plus 160, yes, minus 200, no? Something like that?
As an intricate of a betting discussion as we've as we will ever have on the NASCAR. I find that fascinating.
Maybe 180 and 220, maybe?
Not a bad idea.
I don't know. I'm not an odds maker, but.
He's just a man with a daily article.
I'm just a man who all of a sudden is interested in NASCAR thanks to Wyatt Tomczyk.
Thanks to Wyatt Tomczyk. It's two best bets for you today. I've been looking at the market here, Adam, seeing some pretty crazy moves. Are you as surprised as I am that with the recent regression for Shota Imanaga, he is getting bet so aggressively today against Zach Wheeler, of all pitchers, for Philadelphia? That's a 20-cent line move in the Cubs and Imanaga's favor. The Cubs, who have been just a walking horror show over the last 2 months, and Imanaga, who has really bounced back to earth here. What am I missing about that line move today?
Yeah, the Cubs have the worst record in baseball over, what, the last 6 weeks or 2 months or so, something like that. I saw that tweet in passing. Look, the thing about the Phillies, and this happened, you know, this has been happening a little bit here, where I think it's the modeling crowd that's kind of driving some line moves against them because they're missing Bryce Harper, they're missing Kyle Schwarber, they're missing JT Realmuto. When you put them in, right, if you're a modeler, if you've got, you know, your spreadsheet in front of you, all that, you're kind of projecting out runs. If you go to it, if you go down to the player level, this is, I mean, they're missing three key pieces in their lineup, right? So that's going to necessitate a big adjustment on this team. And I think what we're seeing is that maybe the influential bettors out there that move numbers don't believe that the odds makers have adjusted the Phillies enough for missing Harper, for missing, you know, Realmuto, and then also missing Schwarber. But as you mentioned, I mean, Imanaga has been bad in his last couple of starts. The Cubs have been awful for a while. And Wheeler is a guy who's perennially up there in the NL Cy Young chase. I mean, I really, truly did think about taking the Phillies today. I did have the Phillies yesterday at a dog price, and they won that game. It got real scary in the ninth, but they did win that game. I really thought about it today. I really, truly did. I may end up ultimately regretting it, but a lot of they're going to have to empty the bench again here to throw a bunch of righties at Imanaga, and the bench is looking pretty bad now with some of the injuries that they have. Wait,
Philadelphia, underdogs yesterday. Granted, the pitching matchup certainly not nearly of a Zach Wheeler-type ilk, but Trey Turner hits two homers. He's back and healthy.
Michael Mercado pitched well.
And I understand what you're saying with the whole modeling crowd there. The reality is Shota Imanaga, who had a near .50 ERA the first couple months of his rookie campaign with the Cubs, last six starts, 31 and a third innings, pitched 24 earned runs. That's not just some blip on the radar. That is an obvious regression towards the mean that numbers dictated were coming, and he's fallen all the way now, Adam, 307 on the ERA, 375 expected fielding independent pitching. So you could still make a case that there is more regression to come, and it makes sense now that the weather has started to turn.
Yep.
Balls are flying out. Granted, wind expected to be blowing in tonight at Wrigley, just a 7.5 total. But at the same time, I am not a believer in Imanaga long-term. And this Cubs team, you actually watch them. You watch the game specifically. They are as poorly fundamentally driven as any team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and the thing about a guy like Imanaga is that, I mean, coming over from Japan, it's a big adjustment to pitching in the big leagues. And also, they pitch once a week over in Asia. And sometimes he's pitching twice a week here. It's a tough thing to get accustomed to.
Final Major League Baseball thoughts for us on the other side. More players with two first names. We'll also have to dive into that. We'll see what we can come up with during the break here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSIN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best future bets from the VSIN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit vsin.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. As we're back for the final time, a big thank you to Tyler Shoemaker from VSiN.com joining us in studio for two segments today. Also, Robbie Kylan from UpRock Sports talking all things NBA free agency. Now that that has started to simmer a little bit, the big names for the most part have since found their new destinations, although we had a couple of small pieces today. Torian Prince to the Milwaukee Bucks, Alec Burks to the Miami Heat, Joe Ingles to the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you just missed that, some minor pieces here going to teams who view themselves as contenders in 2024. Wyatt Tomchek, our producer, everybody hanging out in the back, Reggie, Larry, Sean, Taylor, others I don't know if I missed, but I think that's everybody.
You got everybody.
I did get everybody. Reggie, for the great sign that made its debut on the show today.
Honestly, that was the highlight of the show. Ben, can I ask you a question that we had a discussion about yesterday? This goes back to the spotted cow. But what Matt Brown asked you, if you had to pick two beers for somebody to taste, what would it be?
How many beers has Adam had historically about?
What would you say? You're over 1,000 on your?
On Untapped, I have almost 2,000.
2,000.
But I've probably missed things or started Untapped late. Mm-hmm. So I would say in my lifetime, I've probably tried 2,500 different beers. I'm still missing some from the only time I went to Great American Beer Festival, too, because I was in no position to add to the app.
That's fair. I remember you told me before you went to that fest, you put the over-under at triple digits that you would
consider. Oh, I got there.
You got there.
Yeah.
Maybe not smartly, but you got there.
I mean, so, like, Great American Beer Festival was cool. First of all, it's tough because it's in Denver, right? So you have to deal with the elevation. But also, the way that they put the breweries in this convention center, there's nothing else to do at all, and there's no separation whatsoever. They're just next to each other. So it's just so rapid fire that, like, there's nowhere to kind of step off and take a break or, like, really get food or anything like that.
Yeah,
it was a marathon.
So, Ben,
I'm not a huge beer guy, but should Spotted Cow, should it be banned from being sold in the rest of the, you know, contiguous United States? Is it that great? Probably not. I get why that, as a result, people would then say it's overrated. Is it still a really damn good beer? Yes, it is. It's good. Its charm is the fact that it cannot be sold outside of state lines. And unlike the sellouts over at Culver's or Lion and Kugel's, my favorite beer, by the way, I would posit that a Summer Shandy, I realize that's a... Barry Weiss.
He did not like the Summer Shandy or Spotted Cow. He didn't like. He thought they were over.
Spotted Cow is fine. I think Spotted Cow is over.
You kind of picture Adam, you know, with like a top hat and like a pipe.
Monocle.
And he's drinking really heavy, you know.
Scotch.
It's like something you would find in a tankard. I'm definitely a little bit of your lighter variety. So, you know, put me on a lake, on a boat with a Shandy or a Spotted, and I'm good to go.
I think the only beer I've ever seen you drink out here is Mango Cart
Golden Road. Mango Cart's good. I do like Mango Cart.
Which is, coincidentally, we talk about ballparks, right across the street from Angel Stadium. That and Carl Strauss Brewery are the two breweries right across the street from Angel Stadium.
What does it say about me that everything I've listed has fruit-associated tones? I have no shame. I've stopped apologizing for that stuff.
No, you like Red's Apple Ale?
Oh, yeah. Give me a Red's.
Oh.
Give me an Angry Orchard.
God.
Angry Orchard's actually good. Gluten-free for those who are...
What's another good one? Mike's Hard Lemonade?
I think it's, you know, everything has an origin. First thing I ever imbibed in.
Seagram's Wine Cooler.
Well, it was not Seagram's Wine Cooler. Don't worry, no Boone's Farm to be seen here. The first thing I ever imbibed was a Mike's Hard Lemonade. And I loved it because it tasted like candy. And it got me all jacked up on Mountain Dew. As an ode to one of the great athletes with two first names, Ricky Bobby. I thought I'd mention that. All right, last thoughts on the Major League Baseball here, Adam. We've given out two best bets already. The one that I was going to play, but I was just late. That's the theme. I've just been late to the party today on some of these moves. Ryan Pepiot, Michael Wacha doing battle in KC. Rays at Royals. This opened 9 in some shops. It's now down to 8. A lot of those 8s are juiced under here. Even the first 5 is moved from 4.5 on the total down to 4s, although you could get even money on that. I'm just a Ryan Pepiot fan. I love the arsenal, his swing and miss stuff, so much movement on his pitches. He's sitting at a 4.40 ERA. All the advanced metrics suggest that should be more like the 3.50 to 3.75 range. I'm a believer in Pepiot, yet he's definitely had an adjustment, Adam, going from L.A. to that unique, quirky style of pitching they have in Tampa Bay. And I would look to back him as well as Michael Walker, who the numbers aren't sparkling by any means, but he's a guy who just knows how to get out, gets outs. And I would like that matchup today, but I'm not going to buy when it has already moved a full run there in the market.
Yeah, and the thing about Pepio, you know, 440 ERA, 366 expected ERA, a guy that's done a pretty good job in terms of contact management, but, you know, hasn't really had the ERA success, which is a little bit unfortunate for him. Look, you know, I talked about this on yesterday's show, and to give you an idea of the MLB season that I'm having.
Uh-oh.
So I talked about the Royals and their home road splits on yesterday's show. Going into yesterday's game, at home, they were first in batting average, fifth in on base, third in slugging, second in weighted on base average, had the lowest strikeout percentage in baseball. All of these numbers at home. On the road for the Royals this season, 29th in batting average, 29th in on-base percentage, 27th in slugging, 27th in weighted on-base average. Their strikeout percentage about 5% higher on the road than it was at home. Like, there's some weird home road shenanigans going on with the Royals here. So I mentioned that on yesterday's show, I take the Royals with Brady Singer against Zach Littell.
Uh-oh.
Zach Littell, a guy with an ERA over 5 on the road this season. What do the Royals do? One run on 6 hits. So that's a, that's a microcosm of the baseball season I've had here so far. But in knowing what I know about Kansas City and their home road splits this year, there's been a lot of attention brought to this here recently, so I don't know if there was something nefarious going on. Maybe we'll find out. But in knowing what I know about them, I can't pick against them at home. I mean, they're 30-17 at home now, 17-23 on the road. They're a Baltimore Orioles-esque offense at home and a Chicago White Sox-esque offense on the road.
It is crazy to phrase it like that, but that is what the numbers indicate so far. It's a good thing.
Which is weird. Like, Kauffman Stadium has no, there's no built-in advantage.
No.
It's not Coors Field, right? It's not Yankee Stadium with the short porch where you can kind of tailor your lineup to that as a result. Kauffman Stadium is almost about as neutral as it gets.
You've always been someone very quick to the jump of pointing out shenanigans, whether it's with baseballs or other things in MLB. You've usually been ahead of the curve on that. Is that your belief? Would it shock you?
Yeah.
And what do you think is actually, like, what is going on? Is there ball degradation slash funny business going on at the K?
I don't know. I mean, I also have a theory about Atlanta and Truist Park this year, because if you look at Truist Park and if you look at the numbers from previous seasons, fly balls are not carrying to the same degree in Atlanta that they have been in the past. And the thing that people don't really keep in mind, this happened a few years ago, they put a humidor in all 30 parks. So it was 10 of them, primarily like the retractable roof stadiums to try and, you know, neutralize the ball, kind of make it, you know, kind of balance it out a little bit, whether the roof was open or closed. But they put humidors in all 30 parks now. And when you look at some of the Braves' numbers from early in this season, and not only their numbers, but also visiting offensive numbers, something looked off. Like, they changed some kind of humidor setting, and the ball wasn't carrying as far. So guys like Austin Riley and Matt Olson are off to horrific starts this season. Seemed like something was going on there, because when you compare sample year over year of the same time period, like, it was dramatically different. So this has nothing to do with comparing the summer of 23 to the spring of 24, nothing like that. It was the same actual time period on the calendar, and things were very different in Atlanta. I haven't checked an updated version of it. I'll have to do that here maybe this weekend, but it seemed like maybe the humidor had been messed with in Atlanta. So I don't know if something weird is going on in Kansas City or not. I don't know if they're hacking into PitchCom or something, but it's strange.
As a diehard Braves fan who watches most of their games, I agree with Adam. There have been a lot of times where you hear off the crack of the bat, this is going to be a long home run, and it's barely getting to the warning track. It
Interesting.
Is. Braves have had some very unlucky just hitting this year. I don't know what it is.
That. Braves, and, big favorites and Chris yet, Sale today, minus 210 over Jordan Hicks.
And yet the Braves are, I mean, all in all, without Strider and Acuna, I mean, they're having a pretty good season.
They are. One other play I would look at today, a fade of some pitching here, over 8.5 in the Reds-Yankees game. That is getting blasted right now. You can still find over 8.5, minus 120. Some books go into 9, but it's the two highest walk rate teams against lefties in the bigs. Andrew Abbott, big regression candidate there. And Carlos Rodon, as the weather turns at him, a guy who is always at risk for giving up a lot of long balls.
Rodon's been awful lately. I like this play. I looked at it too.
8.5 over there in Reds and Yankees. That does it for us. Big thanks to Wyatt Tomchick, our producer. For Adam Burke, I'm Ben Wilson. Always a blast hanging out with you, man.
It was fun.
Another edition of Sharp Money in the books. VSiN Primetime, Tim Murray, Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way right after this.